All right, let's take our Bibles, please, and go to Genesis 16. Genesis chapter 16. I told you I was going to go back to the book of Acts, but I have fallen and I can't get up. And I'm going to show you something else tonight about Abraham's walk of faith, and this I hope will be an encouragement and a blessing to you, a help to you, so I need you to keep your Bible open and stay with me tonight. Okay, let's begin in verse 16 of chapter 16. Last verse of the chapter. And notice here that Moses tells us something very important. Now, the tendency is to just read over this and keep going, right? I mean, it's numbers. Come on. And so when we see those, we usually just blow right past them. We don't stop to consider actually what is being said. Now, folks, listen, if it's in the scriptures, it's there for a reason. God is wanting to show us something. And so be careful about just rolling over a passage or a verse because you just don't think there's anything in it. Well, there is something in it. You might have to look for it, but mark it down, there is something in it. And that 16th verse goes like this. It says, "And Abram was 86 years old." Now, how old is that? 86, all right, very good. "When Hagar bare Ishmael to Abram." All right. Genesis 16:16. Everybody see that? All right, now let's go back earlier in the chapter. And you'll remember that Abraham has a promise. And you'll remember that in that promise, God said that all the nations of the earth would be blessed by his seed. Now, in order for that to happen, Abraham has to have a seed, and a seed is a son. So Abraham and Sarah have to have a son. And so we read here in verse 16, "And Abram was 86 years old when Hagar, who was Sarah's maid," she was the housekeeper. All right, you with me on that? And so the rationale was, Sarah said, "I'm way too old to have a child." Now, the angel of the Lord had already told her that nothing is impossible with God. But she didn't listen. And just like Eve talked Adam into doing what he knew he was not supposed to do, in this passage of Scripture, Sarah talks Abraham into doing what deep down inside he knew was not right. He had to have known that. Sure he did. And so Abraham sat there and said, "Well, you know, I'm awful old too. I don't know. I don't know about this." And Sarah said, "Well, why don't we just help God out?" And of course, she was looking out for herself. All right. "Why don't we help God out?" "Well, what do you got in mind?" "Well, you go into my handmaid, Hagar, and we'll have a child through Hagar." And notice here in verse 16, "And Abraham was 86 years old when Hagar bare Ishmael to Abram. Period. End of the chapter. All right, now look at chapter 17, verse 1. Again, we just, you know, blow through the first part of this, but don't blow through it. Look at the first part of this verse. It says, and when Abraham was, say it, 90 years old and 9. So 99 years old. All right, now you take 99 and you subtract 86 from it, and what do you get? 13 years. All right, so for 13 years, folks, now you think about this. For 13 years, Abraham does not hear from God. Now, this is the same God who called him when he was in Mesopotamia and told him, get up and get out and get down to a land that I will show you. And when you get down there, I'm going to show you all this land, and I am going to give this land to you and your seed. Well, I don't have a son. Trust me. And so Abraham did. He got up, he got out, and he went and eventually ended up down in the land of Canaan. And God blessed him abundantly in the land of Canaan, even though he messed up a few times. But here in this situation, folks, I mean, this is a major, Abraham, you blew it. Okay? He was doing so well. And God just kept revealing things to him, just kept showing him things and giving him more and blessing him. But what happened here is he got ahead of God. And when he got ahead of God, he got out of the will of God. And he ended up in sin. And now, for 13 years, God has not spoken, has not said a word to him. Can you imagine that Abraham walked around and thought to himself, wow, what happened to that promise I was given? I wonder what happened to that promise that God gave me about a great nation. Man, I haven't heard from God in years. Can you imagine? 5 years goes by. Sarah says, heard anything from God? Nope. 10 years goes by. Sarah says, what about that promise, Abraham? Has God said anything to you about that promise? No. Have you said anything to God about it? Well, no. Well, why not? Well, I just don't feel like talking to God right now. You see, that's what sin does to you. You know, I don't feel like talking to God right now. If God wants to talk to me, he knows where I am. Well, wait a minute. You know where he is too. And so, 13 years, silence. Silence. And then at the end of 13 years, I mean, Abraham's almost a century old. So God's running out of time here with the old geezer. And so the Lord knocks at the door. And Abraham was, verse 1, look at it, 90 years old and 9. And the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. Wow. Now let me tell you what I'm calling our study, and I'm going to call it the comfort of faith. The comfort of faith. We are talking about, and have been talking about, Abraham's walk of faith in the book of Genesis. And I want to point out some things tonight about Abraham's walk that I think each and every one of us can apply to our own lives, especially during these troubled times. Abraham eventually grew to the place where he was a model of faith, a man who became known as the friend of God. But as I've tried to explain to you and have shown you several times, getting to the place where he was this great man of faith was a process. It did not happen overnight. Nobody gets spiritual overnight. It takes time. It takes time. I had a preacher boy, and he's studying for the ministry, not in our church, but in a church I preached in recently. He's a student studying for the ministry, and he came and asked me a question after church one night, and I answered his question, and he said, "Wow, well, that's simple." I said, "Yeah, I think so." And he said, "Man, I wish I knew as much of the Bible as you." I said, when you get 66 years old, you better know as much Bible as I know. If the Lord tarries and God allows you to get 43 years in the ministry, then you probably will. But it ain't going to happen overnight. You don't become a Bible scholar overnight. Doesn't happen. Doesn't happen to anyone. And it didn't happen to Abraham. So it took time for him to grow, as it takes time for us to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord. So you don't get saved and then wake up the next day a spiritual giant. No, that just doesn't happen, folks. It takes time to get there. And there are lessons that the Lord teaches you along the way to help you eventually get where you can be a person of great faith. There are ups and downs. There are trials that you will have to face. There are things that will come your way that the Lord will use to get you to the place where He wants you to eventually be. Now, I want you to notice from this 16th chapter and from this 16th verse, this chapter shows us a side of Abraham that was not admirable at all. He yielded to his flesh in a heartbeat. I mean, at a suggestion. And he fell flat on his face. Just about every advance that he had made along the way was set back many, many times over as a result of what he did here in this chapter. Chapter 16 relates a period of backsliding on Abram's part that is not appealing, as many things about Abraham were appealing, but it shows us a part of Abraham's life that was instead appalling, shameful. Now let me stop right here and make sure we remember all the components to the narrative. Remember this main fact. Abraham had a promise from God. That's what this is all about. Now, don't ever forget that. Abraham had a promise from God. And remember that as Abraham was obedient to God, God, in the previous chapters, just continued to bless him and in the blessing unveil more and more of that plan that he had for his life. All right, so God just continued to be with him. But here's another key component. That promise was that from Abraham's seed, God would raise up a nation. And if you remember, Abraham and Sarah were not able to have children, or at least Sarah was not able to have children. And on top of that, both Abraham and Sarah were, I'm just going to say it, old. Now, when I get 99, I won't think that's old, but I used to think 65, good grief, that's old. I remember my dad saying one time he was 62, and I went, seriously? That's old, Dad. Well, now I'm 65 and a half, or three quarters. Wow, I'm 65 and three quarters. That's old. Yeah, I agree. But they were old, folks. Sarah was way past the age of having a child. But in order for God to fulfill his promise, Abraham and Sarah had to have a son or a seed. Now, chapter 16 shows us the tragic story of Abraham and Sarah trying to help God out in this matter of a seed. Sarah said to Abram, "Why don't you have a child with Hagar, my handmaid? She is young and can bear you a child, and we can help God out here. We can help God out with this problem of me being unable to have a child." And so that is exactly what they did. But that action came or brought nothing but heartache. It was wrong. Abraham had to know it was wrong. Sarah had to know it was wrong. It was sin against God, not only the adultery aspect of it, but also the lack of faith. Abraham had been this man of faith all along, but now his faith just goes out the door. His patience goes out the door. He got impatient, said, "God, don't worry, we'll help you out." Hey, folks, listen, God doesn't need your help. He doesn't need my help. God is in good shape tonight. He knows exactly what's going on. And so they tried to help. But in this last verse, as soon as the Holy Spirit tells us about Abraham and Sarah's impatience and his lack of faith and his sin, we are told in the very last verse of this 16th chapter that Abraham was 86 years old when this child came into the world that was conceived through Hagar, her handmaid. And his name, of course, was Ishmael. And Ishmael became a thorn in the side of Jacob or of Isaac and is still a thorn in the side of Israel today. Make no mistake about it. The descendants of Ishmael are the Palestinians. They are the innate, inbred enemy of God. And it all started right here when Abraham had relations with an Egyptian and this child was born. If you look back at verse 12 of this chapter, God gives a word about this man and says that he will be a wild man. His hand will be against every man. In other words, he will be the one that starts the fights. He cannot be calm. He cannot be civil. He will, his hand will be against every man and every man's hand against him. And he shall dwell in the presence of all his brethren. So he is describing these Arab people, these Palestinians. He is describing them and telling at the beginning that his descendants, and God said in verse 10 that Ishmael was going, his seed would be multiplied exceedingly, just like Abraham's seed would be multiplied exceedingly. But this seed was going to be a problem for not only Israel, but also for the world. And so God shows us about this sin and tells us about Abraham's impatience, his lack of faith, and his sin against God. Now, look at 17, verse 1. And in this verse, the Holy Spirit begins with telling us that Abraham was 99 years old, and then the Lord appeared again. So if you take the 99 from 17:1 and you subtract the 86 from 16:16, you will get the number 13. So for 13 years between the events of chapter 16 and the Lord appearing to him again in chapter 17, you get 13 years. Now, why is that so important? Well, it is important because here is a period in the man of faith's life, Abraham's life, where absolutely, get this now, nothing is recorded about his life by the Holy Spirit of God. Nothing. It's just like there's a blank space between the end of chapter 16 and chapter 17. 13 years of history is between those two verses. And you will notice here that God said nothing to Abraham in that 13 years. Don't forget now, Abraham is the man of faith. And yet, here is 13 years of his life that are, you ready? Wasted years. Let that sink in. Wasted years. Nothing is said of him for 13 years. Think about it, folks. 13 years of living completely led by his flesh. Abraham, the man of faith, the father of the faithful, the friend of God, as he is called in the Bible, wasted 13 precious years of his life without an altar and without any word of revelation from the Lord. From all we can tell, in that 13 years, no fellowship, no covenant, no prayer, no fruit, no growth, no progress, absolutely nothing that was worth recording by the Holy Spirit. Some folks have said these were the 13 silent years of Abraham's life. Let me ask you, how many silent years are you working on now? I hope none. I hope none. And I don't think you are, because you're in church tonight. You wouldn't be here if you didn't love the Lord. Think about it, folks. He lived 13 wasted years without hearing from God because he could not wait for God's time, but became impatient and took matters into his own hands. Now, did any of us think that impatience was a sin against God? Did any of us ever think that? I sat and I thought, wow, I didn't know impatience was such a bad thing. I guess it is. Because it sure brought the judgment hand of God upon Abraham. It sure got Abraham out of sorts with the Lord. And you know, when you think about the sins of the flesh, we think of adultery or fornication, or we think of drunkenness, or we think of worldliness and such as that. But impatience is a sin of the flesh as well, and evidently a terrible sin of the flesh, because God certainly dealt harshly with Abraham here. Now, here's what I want you to see. I told you that the title of my message tonight is The Comfort of Faith. Now, I have dilly-dallied in the introduction, 25 minutes of introduction, way too long, and I know that, but I got to fill in the blanks, or I don't feel like you're going to stay with me. I don't know why I feel that way, but I do. I always do. I always take longer in the introduction than I ever wanted to take. Have you noticed that? I do it. All right, so here's what I want you to see. I'm just going to jump to it, all right? Here's what I want you to see. I want you to see that even though Abraham was not faithful for these 13 years, God was. Abraham was not, but God was. Look at the verse. And when Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram. That's amazing, folks. You know what that is? That's grace. That's grace. That's the grace of God. God denied, or Abraham denied God for 13 long years, and God denied Abraham in that 13 years of fellowship and of his blessing, but God did not deny Abraham of his promise. Do you see that? God did not abandon the promise. God did not deny the promise. After 13 years, God realized, well, I hope he's learned his lesson now. I hope the spanking that he has gotten has woke him up. I hope he's attentive now. And so God appeared as if to say, hey, buddy, did you learn your lesson? Because you see, Abraham had God had a covenant that Abraham had to fulfill. And God could not deny himself. God could not do it. Why? Because Abraham was still God's child. Folks, you can be assured that in those 13 years, God was remembering him. And after 13 long and trying, fruitless years, God comes once more to rescue Abraham from himself and restore him to fellowship. Folks, ask yourself this question. I can't answer it for you, so it doesn't do me any good to ask it, but ask yourself this question and then answer it sometime between now and before you go to sleep tonight. But just ask yourself this question. How many times has God come to rescue you because you are his child? Man, I remember when I got thrown out of school, I wanted to quit so bad. I was mad at the world. I wanted to quit. Oh, my goodness. I came home with and applied. This is how angry I was. I came home and applied to the coal mines. Yep, I was mad. Man, I'm so glad I didn't get called for an interview. I remember the guy looking at me and said, "What's your what? You Your major's what? And you want to work in the coal mines? I said, just for a while. I need to make some money so I can go back to school. Oh, we don't work like that. We hire you, you're in. You become a part of the UMW and we don't get rid of you. That's how mad I was. I got so angry at God, I didn't want to go on. I was just going to quit, just give it up. But folks, God came and knocked on the door again. Not once, but many times. I remember the first time the church that I pastored, some of the men in the church who were on the board went against me. They ganged up and went against me. And I was devastated. Devastated. And I wanted to quit. I said, this is not for me. I can't do this. I don't have the patience for this. Well, God taught me the patience for that. You have to just realize that God is God. And He knows what's best for you and for me. He knows what we're dealing with. He knows what we're facing. He knows our sickness. He knows our illness. But we got to trust Him that He is still God. What did He say to Abraham? Look at that. He said, I am the Almighty God. What do you mean getting impatient, Abraham? What do you mean trying to help me out? Are you saying that I cannot do what I promised you I was going to do? Abraham, come on. I created this entire universe. Just with the word of my mouth did I create it all. And you can't believe that I can make your wife pregnant? Come on, buddy. That's in the Hebrew. You'd have to know the Hebrew to know that. But that's what God was saying. Think of it, folks. 13 years of struggle, 13 years of silence, 13 years of trial and difficulty. But what we're supposed to learn is we are to let the Spirit of God lead us. We're to let the Spirit of God lead us. All of us are tempted to resort to the flesh in the time of trial. But the bottom line is this, you're either led by the Spirit or you are led by your flesh. It's that simple. And that's why it is so important that we stay in the Word of God and stay in church and stay in prayer, keeping our hearts close to the Lord. The simple truth is, the less of the Spirit of God in your life, the more fleshly you will become. And let's now take this truth and apply it to the church. The less of the Spirit of God in the church, the more of a fleshly church you're going to find. And you know that's true, don't you? All of you know it's true. Some of you won't admit it. But you know it's true. Folks, I could not allow the Church of the Open Door to become a rock and roll church. I just couldn't allow it. I mean, I couldn't allow it. You say, well, why? Because the Holy Spirit wouldn't let me. I mean, I don't even have that much of a desire to make it happen. None. Amen. I interviewed a music guy before I hired Alan, and he sat down in my office, and you said, well, I don't remember anybody, and I didn't bring him out for you to meet him. He went online, and he watched our services, and he said, boy, I hope I get this position. I said, why is that? He said, because I want to bring the church into the 21st century. And I said, what do you mean by that? And he told me what he meant by that. And I said, no, you're not. I said, who do you think you are? You don't come in here with your own agenda. You come in here and you follow my agenda. I'm the pastor of the church. I set the agenda. And so I didn't even bring him in here and introduce him to you. I took him back down to the airport and sent him home. Told him not to come back. Folks, come on. Man, if you hear of a church that throws out everything and brings in the world, mark it down, that pastor has a worldly, fleshly heart. He's not in the Bible. He's not in his Bible. You can bank on that. Or if he is, it's one of these muddied up versions, perversions. It's not the Word of God. Oh, I could go on that subject, but I think you got the point. But lastly, I want you to see that our God is the great sustainer. He is the great sustainer. Look at verse 1 of chapter 17 again. Look very carefully at it. When God appeared to Abram, here's what he said. He said, I am the Almighty God. Now, I've preached on this verse before, but I need to tell you what this means, because it's crucial to the message that I want you, to the thought I want you to see. God tells Abraham, I am the Almighty God. The implication from God is that Abraham had forgotten that fact. That's the implication. I mean, God is saying to him, listen, Abraham, there are no limitations to my power. No limitations. I can do anything that I so want to do. I can do it. And it seems that Abraham had forgotten that fact. 13 years had gone by. And it was God that had to come back to Abraham, not Abraham running to God. It was God who had to come back and knock on the door and say, hey, Abraham, we need to talk, bud. We need to talk. And he acted in the flesh. And when he did, that caused him to move away from God and seek his own will instead of God's will. And so he had to learn that you just got to let the Lord handle the issues that arise. I mean, after all, he is the Almighty God. Now, the word Almighty in the Hebrew language is this. In the Hebrew text, it is Shaddai. S-H-A-D-D-A-I. Shaddai. All right, now let me break down the words for you. It is, he says, I am the Almighty God. So he is the El, that's God in Hebrew. All right, their airline is called El Al, God's airline. They have never had a hijacking. They've never had a crash. They're God's airline, safest airline in the world. They win it every year, safest airline in the world. And so he said, I am the El Shaddai. Now let me break down the words for you. El, we know, means God, all right? The word Shad, S-H-A-D, that is the Hebrew word for breast, for a woman's breast. All right, now, here's the kicker. You ready? The word D-A-I that goes on the end, Shaddai. El Shaddai. That D-A-I that goes on the end of it is a simple little word that means many. Now put it together. God says, I am the many-breasted God. You say, what? What in the world does that mean? Get the picture, folks. The Hebrew language is a picture language. So get the picture on this. Here's what it means. God is saying, when you put it all together, it means that God told Abraham that he is the many-breasted one. And therefore, he is more than able to supply nourishment and strength and milk to Abraham as well as to anybody else. He is the many-breasted God. He is the God who provides. He is the all-sufficient God. It is like God is saying, Abraham, you're acting like a little baby here. You have been saved all these years, and yet you are acting like a little baby. You couldn't depend upon me or trust me, but you had to take things into your own hands. You haven't made very much progress lately, have you, Abraham? Now listen. Why don't you realize, Abraham, just who I am? I am the Almighty, the El Shaddai, the many-breasted one. I am the God who is sufficient. Doesn't matter what the need is. I am the God who is sufficient. I am the God who can provide for what it is that you need. Hey, Abraham, you have forgotten this great truth. With me, nothing is impossible. So after 13 years, God tenderly invites his child to come and lean upon his breast for comfort. You see, folks, that is what mama does with her infant child. She's sleeping. There is a cry in the night. Dad doesn't hear it. He's snoring away. But mom can hear even the faintest little whimper. And up out of that bed she goes. Her ear is dialed in to that cry, and she bounds out of bed, runs to the baby, picks that baby up, and holds that child tightly to her breast, all the while speaking soothing words of comfort. She changes the diaper and then sits down in the rocker and nurses that little baby at her breast until the child is satisfied, all the fears are gone, and the baby goes back to sleep. And Christian, that is our God. Be encouraged, that is our God. Be comforted today in knowing that this is your God and my God as well. God seems to invite Abraham to come and lay in his arms and lay his weary head upon God's bosom so that instead of drawing strength from his own flesh, he can draw comfort and strength and calm assurance that everything is fine and dandy from his Father's care. Isn't that awesome? Folks, I'm telling you, this is one of the most tender pictures you're going to find in the Bible. And if you look at verse 1, look at how God ended this. God told him, Abraham, you walk before me and be thou perfect. Now that word perfect does not mean sinless perfection. It means to be mature. All right? But now what does Abraham walk before me? What does that mean? Well, watch. Here's God, and he's walking, and he says, "Where'd Abraham go?" And for 13 years, Abraham was gone. God's standing over there going, "I told you to follow me. I told you to follow me. Well, I'm just going to stand right here until you come back." And he didn't come back. 13 years. Finally, God said, "He's getting old. He's going to die before long. I better go over there and see what's going on." Knock, knock, knock. "Hey, Abraham, did you forget? I'm the Almighty. I'm El Shaddai. I'm the many-breasted one. Now, here's what I want you to do." And grabbed him by the ear and said, "Now, you get up here and you walk in front of me so I can keep an eye on you. Walk before me." You see it? Wouldn't it be neat if you went to the Lord and you said, "Lord, I've made a decision here. I want to walk in front of you. I don't want to walk behind you anymore. I seem to be messing up when I walk behind you. So I want to walk out in front of you if that's all right." And boy, you'll find God says, "That's exactly what I want you to do." So there's comfort, folks. Comfort in faith. When you display that faith, God comforts your heart. Just like a mother comforts her baby. All right, let's pray. Father, thank you now for our time together tonight. Thank you for the Word of God, and I pray that it will make a difference in our hearts. We're so thankful for the pictures that we see here in Abraham and his faith. And Father, I ask you to help us to apply that to our own lives and to our own faith. And so, Father, bless the message and bless the Word of God to our hearts. We love you. Thank you for loving us. And I pray that you will now draw each one of us close to you. Help us to get out in front. And Father, let us walk before you. That way you can keep an eye on us. So, Father, bless the message in Jesus' name.